The idea of being chosen is probably the best way to wrap it up. Understanding being chosen specifically really connected to me, my identity in him and who I was as a daughter of the king. He chose me. I'm in his family because he chose me.
Helping believers in Jesus Christ shine as bright lights in a dark world.
Helping everyday Christians succeed in evangelism, ministry, and the Christian life.
From the northeast corner of the United States of America,
this is the Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Morning Star Bright Lights Podcast. I am Corrine James, your host. Today, our guest is Faith Grant. She is a communications coordinator and the worship director at a local church, actually the church that I got saved in. So I am so happy that she's here. We're going to be talking today about adoption. So Faith is going to share her story about that and how it applies to all of us in our Christian walk and how we're all adopted into Christ's family. Hi, Faith.
Hello.
I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you for having me.
Tell me a little bit about yourself, your family, your husband, your kids. How many do you have? Let's get to know you a little bit.
I am married with four children. I have three girls and one boy, and we live in Oxford, Massachusetts. We have been married, let's see, I don't want to get this wrong, 17 years.
I always just look at my husband because I am not good at that either.
Yeah, he'll know right off the bat. My oldest is 21. My next one is 15. And the next one is 12. And then the next one is 9.
So you have a pretty big span there.
I do.
Good for you. 17 years. You keep going. So tell me a little bit about your jobs and your career. I think in the intro, we talked about you do a lot at the church.
Yes.
Is that something that God just opened the doors recently? And what did you do before? How did this all come about?
This is so far, far away from where I began. I actually went to college to be an interior designer. After college, I spent a little time painting in the paint field. And then I ended up in paint and decorating.
That was at Koopmans. Did you do it at Koopmans?
Yeah, that was down the road. So I had a few jobs before that in the same field. I lived up on the North Shore for a while, and I was doing the painting and decorating. I worked for a paint company, mixing paint and just kind of getting to know the field. I did that for a few years. I really started to get into like color consulting was something that I did through the paint store, and I loved that. And that kind of drove me into the design field eventually. I actually lived on the North Shore for about 9 years. And when I had my first child, I moved back here to this area and moved in with my family, found a job at Koopmans doing the same thing.
So. This the Koopmans. I knew you were there.
Yeah, I was there, yeah.
Doing some consulting and design there. How did you meet your husband?
He actually worked at Koopmans.
He did?
Yes.
Okay.
So we met there. We were just friends for a while and started dating. It's funny because I had brought my daughter to a company function. We kind of were friendly, but he really took to her and she really took to him.
So cute.
And yeah, I just kept checking out. They're playing on the playground together and laughing. I had had some pretty difficult relationships prior to that. So I was not ready. In my mind, I was not looking for the next relationship. It really took off.
But God had another plan. Tell me a little bit about your salvation story. I know you were brought up as a Christian because we actually went to church together for a long time.
Actually, before that, we lived in Virginia till I was just about 9 years old. We went to an Assemblies of God church. It was down there that I gave my heart to Jesus. I think I was about 5. And the story in my mind was, I think I was getting ready for a bath. I wanted to invite Jesus into my heart. I don't know if I was getting into the bath, getting out of the bath. I just remember the bath was there and it was like time for Jesus. Baptism while we're at it.
I was just going to say, why don't you just baptize you at the same time? You're in the bath. Just
do
it.
That's right. My parents were very God-fearing people. We always went to church. I loved Sunday school. I loved learning about Jesus. I loved the Bible. I loved Bible stories. And obviously, my whole environment was all about God and being loved by God. But I don't think that I really knew what that meant other than Jesus loves me, God is great, someday because I believe that I'm going to heaven. Fill in the blanks though, there were many, many years of just, I don't know what that means and I don't want to go to hell. I knew that. And I knew I was doing the right thing going to church. Like that felt like the thing we were going to do. And so my family did. I definitely love Jesus, but I don't know that I connected my walk with Jesus, my life with Jesus, what that meant.
It really is a growth process. Yeah. So you can make a decision to follow Jesus as a kid, which we've talked on this podcast before, but it really is a journey.
Yeah.
And you're learning and growing every single day. And it doesn't matter how old you get, you're still growing in the
That's
Lord.
Right.
We're just going to go back a little bit because you said you were in Virginia at 9.
We moved here a week before my 9th birthday.
A week before your 9th birthday. Yep. Why don't you talk a little bit about your adoption? So you were born to another mom and dad. Then you were put up for adoption. So how did that happen? Do you know about that? Do you remember that? And share with our listeners, what was that like to actually be adopted?
This is a really great story. I was adopted actually as a baby. I was about a month old when I went to live with my parents who would then adopt me. We lived in Pennsylvania at the time. I did not have a mom and a dad. My birth mother got pregnant and had to give me up for adoption through various circumstances. My parents, after they had become Christians, they had two boys naturally. They started feeling like God was prompting them to adopt, and they really wanted a girl. And so they began the adoption process, and originally they were looking overseas. They were thinking they were getting a child from Vietnam.
But it's just amazing to me that that's everybody's first assumption, that adoption is not here in the U.S.
Interestingly enough, even for them, when they were looking into the process, adopting domestically, that was not generally an option, meaning a domestic Caucasian child was not easily attainable. Interestingly enough, they actually stopped letting babies out of the country. So they thought at that time, well, now we're going to just have to see what God wants, because they thought they were going to get a baby from there. So now what? The social worker that they were working with was actually a believer. When I was born, they found out I had a cleft lip. That is a deformity that some people know about, some people don't. But it's just essentially the skull doesn't completely close. So there's like a shift, basically like a crack. So it kind of deforms the way that your lip forms together, and it affects your teeth. Some people have a cleft palate with a hole in their roof of their mouth, and it affects, you know, how they talk and how they eat and all that.
I had no idea that it was from your skull.
Yes. I was technically put into a hard to adopt category because of the care and needs that I would have, which made me eligible to go to a Caucasian family. This social worker, who was a believer, and her mom was a spirit-filled believer, had these files to see where they were going to place me for adoption, and they prayed over the files. My parents came to their file. That was the one that they were going to choose. They called them, and we had beautiful baby girl, and you know, she does have some needs. And my mom tells me the story all the time. She's like, you know, this beautiful baby, a little tiny something wrong with her, like that's nothing, like we can deal with that, like this is amazing. That's how they ended up with a domestic Caucasian baby.
Looking at you and your parents, you wouldn't even know that you're adopted.
Right.
There's another family that adopted overseas, actually. Okay. That I know, she looks just like them. It's kind of funny how that sometimes happens. So they adopted you, and did you always grow up knowing that you were adopted?
Yes. This was a bedtime story. As far as I can remember back to as young as I have memories, my mom would tuck me in bed at night and would tell me the story of once upon a time there was this girl and she had a baby and she couldn't care for her and God gave you to us to take care of and love. And so I always knew, like, I had been chosen.
Wow.
Yeah, I had been chosen, specifically chosen for
that. Wow, that is such a powerful word, chosen.
Yeah.
So you always felt a part of the family.
Yeah. So that's a loaded question. I knew I was chosen. I knew I had a wonderful family. I was deeply loved. Couldn't have been any better of a situation to grow up in. And that was the grace of God, coming from the situation that I could have grown up in to what God had planned for me. And yet there was always the looking around, and people would start talking about it, family reunions, you know, like, oh, you look like so-and-so and you look like so-and-so. And it really started to weigh on me. I don't have that. I know I belong to you. I have your last name. I know you chose me. You adopted me. I'm yours now, whether I like it or not, you know?
We're now chosen family.
Right. Like, I'm adopted. I'm adopted into the Grant family. That's who I'm associated with. And that's amazing. But there was like this weird disconnection with who I really was. It just bugged me. Where did I come from? Who am I?
And I think that is an appropriate feeling. I was adopted not in the same way. My parents were divorced, and then my mother remarried. My stepfather wanted to adopt us, so we took on his name. But my father had to sign away his rights. Yeah. Think about that. Your mom had to do the same thing, sign away the rights to you. Yeah. And I remember thinking, wow, he mustn't really care too much about me. You know, my mother explained it. He wants you to have your family. He has his family, that kind of thing, and move forward. But I remember getting to an age, I think I was like 15 or 16.
Oh, that age, man. Mm-hmm. Oh, mm-hmm. So hard.
And all of a sudden I was thinking, geez, I really don't look like my mom. I don't look like my sister. I feel like I'm a little different. I wish that I could see if maybe I look like my dad, or maybe I'm like my dad, or I wonder what he's like. You know, just all of those questions. What is he like? What does he look like? Yeah. That kind of stuff. So you're probably feeling that same.
Oh, yeah. As I got older and I started thinking about what it would be like to find my biological mother, I would start looking around and seeing if I saw myself in other people. I mean, we're talking like obsession here. I need to know who I am. I need to know where I came from. It's interesting because you were talking about how different you felt and how you looked different. That was like a huge thing for me, because I was so different. My personality, you know, they talk about like nurture versus nature. A lot of the nurturing, I would look at my brothers and my parents, and they all kind of had a similar way about them.
The way they speak, the way they walk, the way they process. And you're like, I'm on fire.
Oh, yes.
What can I do?
Yes.
What can I jump on?
You know me so well.
I do. I don't know your brothers, but your parents are very calm.
Yes.
Very think before they speak. God-fearing, very kind, very loving. But you are a fireball.
Yes.
Super funny. Yes. Good luck to them raising you, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Just remember, God put you there.
That's right. Just remember that when you're frustrated and so stressed out. And that was always personality, but also I was very creative, very artistic, you know, music, just all sort of the art was what really spoke to me and drove me. And no one in my family was like that. I was like, this must come from somewhere else. Things like that, that just were always on my mind.
So did you start seeking out your biological mother? Was that just something that you started praying about?
So my records were sealed. We'll start there. Back in the 70s when I was adopted, it was, you would seal all the records. There was no information could leak out, or you could find anything out of, I mean, nothing. There was no name, no, nothing. The only thing I knew was where I was born.
And where was that?
In Pittsburgh. We knew that my biological mother did not have the support of a father. Those were basically the only things I knew. And so we had talked about it. I had talked to my mom about what that would look like someday, meeting her. We were very open about it, and she was very open about it. And someday we can try to help you find your biological mother. You know, they were very supportive of it. I think I was in my early 20s. My mom and I were talking about it one day, and she said, you know, I think I saw a file on the front seat of a car of the social worker when she left the house. She's like, I don't know if it was yours, but it was the only file, and I caught a glimpse of it. And she wrote the name down.
Wait a minute. Who wrote the name down?
My mom wrote the name down.
Really?
Yeah. So she just, I'm just going to write that name down just in case it comes up down the road. So she told me the name. I dove in. I knew where I was born and I knew the area. Now I had a name. I literally went through the phone books. And I started calling everybody that was in a certain age group with this name. And I just started calling phone numbers randomly.
Now, did you fear, what if she didn't want to see me, or were you just overwhelmed with I have to?
It was more like I have to. The possibility was there.
But you weren't worried about it.
Not then. No, not at all. I just started calling. I didn't get anywhere with it. At one point, I had called the place where I was adopted, which was Catholic Charities in Pittsburgh. I knew the name of my social worker, so I called them to see if I could get any information. I mean, I was just like last ditch effort, like, what's the worst that's gonna happen is they say no, and I'm right back where I started.
Right. And you're in your 20s now.
I'm in my 20s now. I called, I said her name, and they said she had just passed away, like 6 months before I called. So, you know, they said, well, you can petition the court, you know, maybe you can get medical records. And I was like, I don't want medical records. Like, I want to know, like, who I am. I don't care about what.
They really protected moms back then. I don't really know what it is today. I've heard a lot of, like, an open adoptions. You're adopted, but you can still have a relationship with your biological mom. Yeah. So things must have changed over the years, unless there are still that are sealed that do not want to be known.
I think you can do both. There's an option now where you can have an open sort of adoption, but you can also have them sealed. But nowadays with all the technology and social media, I feel like it's a little easier to kind of find. And I mean, I got to that point too when Facebook came out. Same thing, I had the name look and see like, oh, do they look like me? So we can back up a little bit. I struggled preteen was when it really started to affect me, searching for like who I was. I became very aware of the idea that adoption meant that, yes, I was chosen, but I was also given up. And it literally pierced me so deeply. What does that even mean? I know I was picked by these people, but I was given up. And why was I given up? Started chasing that rabbit down a hole. And that hole led me down this path of like major identity crisis, like so much rebellion, so much self-hatred, you know, searching for significance in relationships, friendships, and you're just searching for anything to give you identity. Somebody please tell me that I'm pretty. Somebody please tell me that I'm wanted, that I'm talented, that I am something.
It's this hole inside of us that Satan can really take to a horrible place. And it's in that hole that you can go two different ways.
That's right.
Satan can take you down this path of destruction, or you can turn to God, who's going to fill those gaps with his love. And a lot of times it takes us down the wrong path for a while. It's all our stories. And all the stories are beautiful because you were led back to Christ.
Very dramatically. It's hard enough to be a teenager and you're walking through peer pressure. Back to the cleft lip was this need to feel complete, this need to feel beautiful on the outside. It was a real struggle because there was a point where people were making fun of me. It was an actual bully situation. Looking back on it now is, okay, it's not, it wasn't that big of a deal.
But it is in your teenage years. Absolutely.
It was a huge deal. That and just feeling abandoned, those two things just pushed me into this really deep hole. And how am I going to get out? I was just performing at every turn. Who's going to see me? Who's going to like me? What are they going to like me for? And we can take that into some very dark places. That was a struggle for a long time. My relationship with food was bad. My relationship with people was bad. Boyfriends, with my parents, it got bad.
When you met your husband, you are still in that place?
He is my second husband. I would say yes, because I had just come out of a very bad relationship that I stepped into, knowing that it was probably not the right one. You know, there were moments all throughout my life where I knew God was speaking to me. I never lost sight of God. I never lost sight of my faith.
Is it a place that you don't turn to him and ask him the questions? Is that, you think, what it was, and you tried to figure it out yourself?
God is omniscient, and he's up there somewhere, and I needed something tangible, right? If I'm going to ask someone a question, I want them to be looking at me. I want them to know me, and I want them to tell me, and I want to be able to feel them and see them. And it was a real hard connection for me that God was here.
It was hard for you to understand at that time. You knew there was a God, almost like he's too big to worry about this thing right here.
Right. And then if he cared about all this and he sees how much I'm suffering, why isn't it changing? Why haven't I been able to find my biological mother? Why hasn't he put it on her heart to find me? Why? I need it to be tangible. And people are tangible and relationships are tangible.
It's like you want that to be fixed now.
What can I put in that hole?
Yes, to fill it.
I tried everything.
Yeah.
Everything.
And did it work?
Of course not.
Why do we do this to ourselves, right?
Well,
why
we didn't
do
we know.
Yeah.
Hindsight. If hindsight was, you know, something that we had before, we wouldn't be doing this. But as you know, the process that we walk through and learning that and figuring that out and, okay, Lord, show me what this looks like. The process is really what gets us to salvation.
Yeah.
which is wholeness. It's holistic healing inside, outside.
You know. So do you want to share that crossover and how did that come about?
We're going back probably about 15 years. I had had my second daughter. She's 15 and I was 16. So I had married my second husband and we knew we were going to have a family. That was a goal that we had. We got pregnant shortly after we got married. And from there, it just got messy because I had dated, I had been with people that were Christians. I knew what it was like to date a person who was a Christian. I knew what it was like to date a person who was not a Christian. And I have to say, the relationships that I had with Christians were almost worse. Here I am.
I hear you. And I've had conversations about that recently. And it's heartbreaking. I don't mean to put it all on the men, because if we take a look at it, were we really acting like Christians at the time? That's a fine line as well. Right. Then I think, geez, we got to raise up these men of God. Yeah. We really need to do that and whatever that means. And I know it almost puts a higher standard on them and that's not fair. It really isn't. I have raised three daughters. So I have heard the stories. Well, why should I bother dating a Christian guy? They're the same, if not worse, than the regular ones. And that's really hard. We do need to take responsibility for ourselves in our own Christian walk. And that's tough. They do too.
Yeah. So, and I remember I had a checklist. I was like, I'm not doing this. I am not getting married again. In my heart, I really liked him. He was very kind. I loved the way he interacted with my daughter.
But and those were your checks.
Yeah. Jesus was not on there. He has to love Jesus more than me. That was not on my checklist.
Wow.
It's so many things on my checklist. That was not on there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that wasn't even a thought about 15 years ago. From there, things just got messy because I was messy. I had so much baggage and trauma related to relationships with men particularly that it was messy. And it wasn't that we couldn't figure it out. It was just, it came out in every aspect of our lives together. I needed to know where he was. I needed to know, am I the most beautiful woman in the world to you? Like, what does that look like? I need to know, like, where are you?
All of your insecurities were thrown into this marriage. So you're looking for validation from other people.
Right. And you know, the funny part is he was always validating me. Always. Like, he's still, I mean, he is like my biggest cheerleader. He is so supportive in so many ways.
But you couldn't receive it because you couldn't see it in yourself.
That's right.
And that's it right there.
Yeah.
I've shared this a million times. When God pulled the scales from my eyes, that I no longer saw myself as ugly.
Yeah.
I could see the Holy Spirit in me.
Yeah.
That's when the change began to happen. You know, I'll have people say to me, well, don't you dress up so people make comments? No.
Yeah.
I am so beyond that, years beyond that, that that day when those scales fell from my eyes, I saw myself the way Christ saw me for the first time. And I say this not in a weird way. I was beautiful because his Holy Spirit is beautiful. I want to do it. So I still get a little bit off kilter when somebody will make a comment, oh, you look good today, or I look that off. I always get a little bit off guard thinking, well, that's weird. You know, why would you say that? Why would you notice? Because it's not for you.
Yeah.
So I understand what you mean.
Yeah.
So you must have got to a point eventually where you were able to see yourself as God sees you, because that's where the true healing starts.
That's right.
We cannot find it in anything else.
Yeah.
In any person, any substance. We can't find it with anybody else except for God.
So we had three more children. And as we kind of were progressing, and I always had this tug. I knew there was a tug from the Holy Spirit. What are we doing? Are you with me? Are you not with me? He was starting to reveal to me that my life was messy because, like you just said, I hadn't been able to receive his identity for me. And I was grappling and grabbing at all the wrong things.
And no matter how many times somebody tells you how beautiful you are, it just does not break through.
Right. It almost makes it worse. It's like they're lying. Why do people lie to me?
Wow.
I remember having these conversations with my mom when I was young. I was like, am I pretty? Like, are you just saying that? You're my mom. You're supposed to say that. It got to a point of self-hatred. Mm-hmm. Like, I would look in the mirror. I would punch myself, like literally hit myself, because I could not bear to look at who I was. And the Holy Spirit kept tugging at me and tugging at me. And my parents, of course, were still going to church here, where we go now, where I still go. My kids started going to VBS. And I would come and I'd hang out for a little while. And I'd come to church every once in a while. When my parents, I started coming a little bit more. And I got to a place, I came to church one day and I was teetering. I had one foot in the world and one foot in church. I was like, God is great. I love God. You know, he's great. But like, do I need this? Like, why do I need this? What is this really doing for me? And I came to church and there was this guest speaker. I can't tell you what the whole sermon was about. There was like an altar call at the end. And he was like, are you all in? Are you going to be on the tight wire? And are you going to be just teetering back and forth? Because following Jesus, you have to be all in for it to be worth it. Because if you're not all in, you're just cycling and circling in this spiral of chaos. You'll never find God in that. I remember he gave out poker chips. You know the saying, when you're giving it all, when you're betting in poker, maybe you've never played.
I've never. Yeah. I know you're looking at me like she's just staring at me blank. I've never bet in my life. So I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, so we played for fun, you know, like whatever. Anyway, we won't go down that path. So the saying, like, you get to the end of the game and it's like, You're betting a little bit. And then you get to this point where it's like, somebody's got to end this thing. Somebody's going to go home with all the money. It's, you put all your poker chips in and you're like, I'm all in. Like, this is my last ditch effort. I'm either going to win it all and take it away or I'm going to lose it all. Right. Mm. And it was so profound. It was like my insides were on fire because I knew that that little tug from the Holy Spirit was now a fire.
Yeah.
And he was like, what are you going to do?
Wow.
And I was like, I'm all in. I'm all in. Am I going to make the decision? I'm all in. I'm doing it at all costs. I don't care. I can't do this anymore. I can't do this life that I have anymore. I'm going to die alone, sad, never knowing my value.
Wow.
Like, am I going to do that? That was the moment. That was the day. God began calling me back and I began to respond.
Respond.
I began to respond. Yeah.
And that was a huge word straight to you from the Lord.
Yeah. And like, it wasn't even someone I knew. It was a guest speaker. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who it was. Someone out there who remembers the sermon who was here could probably remember who it was. Maybe they'll tell me when they see me. But
you know what? It was just God's timing.
Yep.
Calling his daughter back home.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it was. So you were all in. And so did you see things start to change?
I began this process of conversations with God, right? This is like our prayer life is conversations with God. I began this, okay, what does all in look like now? It's a process of, let's start with, do you receive me as your Lord and Savior? I do receive you as my Lord and Savior. What does that look like? Right? Make him Lord of your life.
Yeah, because now it's where the rubber meets the road.
That's right.
Salvation to Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, you're saved.
Right.
But have you let him be Lord of your life?
Yep.
That right there is a huge game changer.
Yep.
It's how you're living out your salvation right now.
What do I need today? Lord, what do you have for me today? Save me today. What does that look like today? What's the journey? What's the step you have for me today? He began to walk me through, and it is a long process. And we're talking maybe 10 years ago. He called me to spend more time in the Word. I can sit and listen to sermons. I can sit and listen to podcasts. I can sit and listen to other people all I want, but the truth is in the Word of God. He began to draw me into the Word and I began to live through the Word. I could dive into the Word and all of a sudden I'm in the story. And what is God speaking to me in here? And so I began to journal as I was reading the Word and praying and hearing from God, what do you have for me today? And he began to show me vivid pictures. I began writing songs. Things were just, it was exploding.
Wow.
As he was drawing me closer to him and he was beginning to reveal things about my identity. I mean, it was a process. We had like a healing ministry here that we walked through specific pieces of healing and how to get there. And I remember God just opening the floodgates. I was willing and I surrendered myself to him. I haven't been able to figure out for 40 years. Let's give God a try.
Like,
he brought me all the way back to the beginning. We started from when I was in the womb. I'm in the womb. He showed me a picture of he was wrapping me in his love and protection. He was singing over me. He was speaking truth over me, who I was, like art and music.
You could see it.
I could see it.
Wow.
And it was incredible. I mean, I'm a blubbering mess at the altar.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, Lord, thank you. I needed this. And in that, he showed me he was protecting me. in the womb. Whatever lies, whatever things that Satan was going to try to take from me, that he was speaking over that, that that was not going to be who I was.
Wow.
So he began to reveal this little by little by little, to the point where we go back to, I thought that if I could meet my biological mother, that I would be complete. Well, God was working my identity in me. I felt like God had told me at one point that someday I would know. I had given up that I would meet her.
You had laid that aside.
I laid it down in a surrender. Okay, Lord, this is yours. Clearly, I have no say in this. And so right. I'm just going to give it back to you.
I've been stressing about this for years, trying to make it happen. It's not happening. No. Your will, not
right.
mine.
And this isn't good for anybody. I'm stressing and everybody around me is stressing. And it was like what drove me in my whole life. And that is not what God had for me. God had so much more for me than to sit around pondering, who am I and what do I look like? Who do I belong to? The work that he was doing in me to fill that hole was with him, was with my identity that he was speaking over me even before he knew me.
What is that scripture?
I knew you before I formed you.
Jeremiah 1:5, God says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. So that's what was happening in your dream. Like God was reminding you that he knew you even before you were born. He had a plan for you.
Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. You know, that he knew even before I came to be, that he had already planned who I was going to be and whose I was going to be.
And what a beautiful picture of him showing you in your mother's womb, protecting you and singing over you, giving you all of those gifts. Like he did that.
Yeah.
He knows each and every one of us before we were born. If we could grab hold of that.
So good.
How beautiful is that? Did you say something that the Lord gave your mother a vision?
Yeah.
Let's hear a little bit about that. Was this before she found you?
Okay. My parents, they knew they were going to adopt, but I hadn't been adopted yet. And they were trying to think of a name.
Before they even adopted you, they were praying for a name.
Yeah. And my mom had a vision where she was walking down the aisle in the church and she had a bundle in her arms and she walked up to the altar and she lifted the bundle, you know, like Hannah in the temple.
Yes.
Right. Lifted up the bundle and said, this is our faith, because it was their faith that had gotten them to the point where all they had believed, they had a promise from God that they were going to adopt. It was because of their faith that it all came to be. And so that's how I got my name.
That is beautiful.
Yeah.
That is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah. We even talk about it now and we look back and she says, you know, that was so prophetic. It's through their faith that they were able to adopt me and raise me. But it's faith that really brought me to the place that I am now. I am a woman of faith. It's just, it was so prophetic. Even my life and what God had planned for me, like that scripture said, he knew.
Yeah.
I didn't know yet, but he knew. It's just a beautiful connection. Gave her the vision and then how I'm now walking that out.
And it's so beautiful and it's so God. We talk about this too, about how names are so important. God truly gave her a vision, prophetic vision of you and what your name would be. And now you're serving here in the church.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And you're using your gifts in art. You were kind of doing them in the world through Christ.
Oh, yeah.
But now you're doing it over here in the church, which both are beautiful. How powerful is that?
That's so good. Sometimes I have to pinch myself. Here I am in my late 40s. God has a specific calling that, you know, that I'm just now realizing. He knew it was going to happen. It was through the whole process of coming to know who he was and who I was in him that got me to this point. And now it's like a whole new calling. He asked me to leave my vocation of interior design to step into ministry and what that looks like for my future. And I'm so excited because I have no idea what it looks like, but I know that God is walking me in a direction and it's exciting. It's like a whole new calling. It's a whole new life for me and him.
We're never too old.
Never too old.
God can put us in places that he's always had planned, and we're never too old. So you are the worship coordinator?
The worship director.
Thank you.
The communications coordinator.
Yeah, this is just not working for me.
That's just words. Worship became a really huge part of my healing. I love music. I mean, music, it moves me. It speaks to me. It became a place where I could really just, between God and myself, looking back on all the things that he's done and all the things that he walked me through, even the trials and the tribulations, where I can go back and say, God was there. He was protecting me from this. He was teaching me this. Down the road, something else was going to happen, and it was building on faith, my trust, and it was building my relationship with God. It was building something towards ministry. All the things that I've gone through and the things that God has healed me from and walked me through and delivered me from are the ways that I can help other people come to know.
Test to the testimony. That's who God is. You wrote something in the little questionnaire that I sent out. You put, he has shown me that in things that I see as imperfect or flawed, he has shown me his beauty. That is powerful.
Yeah.
In those imperfections, through the flaws that you see, God has shown you beauty in them. That's so beautiful. It turns our mess to a message. How do you think that he has prepared you for what you're doing now in ministry?
The life of faith, the life that God always had for me, for all of us, is to be with him in communion, in worship. For me, living out the salvation and the wholeness and the healing that he has walked me through is why I worship him. How could I not, right?
Amen.
Recognizing and realizing, coming to a place where God made me this way. He appointed everything in my life. The good was something to rejoice in. The bad was something that he turned to good.
Amen.
And those are all things that have prepared me to share my story. And what does healing look like? What does salvation look like? What does changing your identity and understanding who you are in Christ, what does that look like? And I want that for people because there's so much freedom in it.
Exactly what kept going along in my mind. When you get to the point that you're walking in freedom in Christ, fully walking in your freedom in Christ, that you are free to do what God called you to do.
That's right.
No more inhibitions, no more fears, no any questions. Why me? I can't do this. All of that is now gone. And now you're standing in the fullness of Christ and the fullness in what he's called you to do. And now you have the confidence in him to move forward in it. Now you can grab hold of the purpose and the plan that God had for your life all around.
And the confidence, right? The confidence that we get standing firm in Christ, because the things that I'm doing now are not things that I would have chosen for myself. And even as he was revealing the plan, the ministry that he was calling me into was like, you want me to do what now?
Right.
I want you to be the worship leader. Okay. So I like music. I dabble in playing an instrument or two. I've had no training. What does that even look like? How do you lead a worship team in worship?
Right.
With like no skills. At least I thought they were no skills. But isn't it just like God to say, this is what I have for you. This is what I want you to do. I'm going to give you everything you need. You say yes, and I'll fill in the rest. And just stepping into things confidently, because God said he will do it. He will do it.
And you have to have faith.
You have to have faith.
Yeah.
Exactly. You have to have faith. Just watching his faithfulness over and over and over again. And it's just exciting because it's like, this is just the beginning for me. It's interesting because I recall when I was about 16, we had an altar call at church. And when I was 16, I was struggling, but I was like, I'm in it with God. I want what God has for me. And I responded to this altar call. It was a prophetic preacher. I don't know again who it was. I don't know names. I just know it happened. But he was going around praying for people, and he put his hand on my head and he spoke these words, young lady, God is going to use you to minister to people through music. And I was like, okay, this guy is clearly like a false prophet. And I'd forgotten all about it because I thought it was a joke. Literally, I was like, okay, this guy doesn't know me.
How cool that God brought that back to your memory.
Only when he called me the second time. Right?
Right.
Would I have been where I am now without that process of 30 years of trying to figure it out, walking this road and coming to the place where God pulled me out of the pit
and said,
you're mine. I have plans for you. Are you ready to walk with me?
Here I am, Lord.
Here I am. This is a really cool thing. This is how good God is. And I say good, amazing. I walked through this process of knowing and understanding my identity with Christ, right? And it was a process. It took many years. I had laid down possibly not finding my biological mother. Laid it down. And I was at the point now where it's like, now we're getting older. I'm in my 40s. She's in her 60s, probably.
She could be gone by now.
She could be gone. I mean, these are things that are going through my head. Mm-hmm. I had to lay it down. God put it on my heart in June of 2021 to do a DNA test to just see where it went. And in the back of my head, what I was thinking was going to happen was, well, I'll find out some of my nationality, quirky things like that. That was all I really expected. It was my birthday. It was my birthday present to myself. I was like, okay, have you done a DNA test?
I have not.
No.
So my daughter wanted one for Christmas this year. So we got her one and we sent her a little spit off. Maybe we joked around too much that she was adopted because she's doing blonde hair. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, that daughter. Yeah.
Yeah, that one. I don't know if she thinks she's going to find something other than. Super funny. Don't joke with your kids.
No. I guess not. It was my birthday, June 2021. I had ordered the kit. I fit into the thing. I wrapped up the box. It was my birthday. I prayed over the box. I'm sending this. God, do what you will.
Amen.
Whatever your plan is with this DNA test, I'm submitting it to you. And in the name of Jesus, I rebuke any attempts of the devil to interfere with your plans and your work. In Jesus' name, and I sent it off. July 7 weeks later, I got the results back. My husband, he took the results. I'm going to read them to you. This will be a fun little thing we do together. I'm like, okay, great. We had surmised some things that I was maybe in my nationality. It was just based on some quirky things that we thought we knew, but we really didn't. And things that people guessed about my nationality.
Right.
He started backwards. The point 0.05% from Sahara Desert or whatever, and walked his way up to the top. So interestingly enough, we thought there was some information along the way that someone had given us that maybe I was Polish. So I'm waiting as he's reading through this. I'm like, okay, where's the Polish? It must be like at the top. No Polish. Zero. You get this DNA test. There's like a place where you can message people or you can look up other people that have done their DNA tests in your family. There's like a message board. I saw that there was one person who had a close enough connection. They named him as first cousin. And I was like, oh,
wow.
On my biological mother's side. And I thought, oh, well, this is something. So I just messaged him. I was like, hey, gave him my whole story. This is where I was born. I have a cleft lip. I was adopted. I think it was like the next day. I got this message. It literally said, word up, cuz. And what went through my head was, this is great and all. I have this cousin who's far out, man. This is not how I'm going to meet anyone like significant, right?
Right.
We had a couple brief like texts back and forth. And the last text he sent me was, I have a hunch, ... Mm-hmm. And then left the conversation.
Are you kidding me right now?
I was like, what? I was like, what's happening right now? And I remember, I think I was at my parents and some friends were there. And I was like, I think this is it. I'm going to meet her. I just knew it. The next day, he texted back and he said, there's a woman that you need to contact. She's been waiting for you. And gave me her email. And I knew.
Just literally got goosebumps.
Yeah. Like, wow. I emailed her.
He probably had to do some double checking.
He did.
That's probably why he waited.
The story has been told since then. The other side of what was happening down there when I was up here, like we were trying to put the pieces together. There's a story down there too. I sent her an email and I didn't hear back right away. Now I'm a complete mess. What am I going to do? So I grabbed my daughter and we're going shopping. Because what else do you do when you're I don't know what to do with myself. Let's go shopping. Great idea. We went shopping. I think it was about 3 hours. I checked out and I walked out the door. And I looked at my email and I had a response. I opened it. The
floodgates.
Poor. I mean, I couldn't even read it. And I went to the car. My daughter's like, are you okay, Mom? My littlest one. Why are you crying? What's wrong? And I'm like, happy tears, honey. She's like, I don't get it. I found her. So I did finally read the email and I called my mom first and then my husband. It might have been the other way around. Sorry, honey, if you're listening. It might have been you first, but I think it was my mom.
I think I told you it was you first, but I really wasn't.
I'm not really sure. You were like one or two. And she poured out her heart. I've been waiting for this day my whole life, explaining the circumstances and how she never wanted to let me go. And she loved me so much. It was her love that kept her hopeful that we would one day meet. She's a believer. She knew that I had been placed with a Christian home, and that gave her so much hope. And she knew I'd be okay. It was amazing.
It's powerful.
Everybody was excited. And it turns out my gnarly cousin was actually my uncle. It's her brother, her half-brother. Oh. That's why it turned up as a cousin, because they don't really know the relationship. You're about this much related. So it was her brother, and he's much younger than her. He has a very distant memory. He wouldn't have known.
How powerful when you gave it up. You said, Lord, I am putting this aside. Years later, you pray and say, Lord, this is yours. Yeah.
And the timing, we still talk about this. We'll always be talking about this story because it is so powerful to all of us and so meaningful and so important. The timing of it, any sooner, we were all in crisis.
Okay.
Literally. I was in crisis. She was in crisis. Like, we were all in crisis. I did find out, I have siblings on that side, two sisters, and one of them I got to meet in person. We got to know each other. She passed away just about a year after we met. Looking back, in the grief of that, Lord, how could you take something away that you just gave me? I didn't even know I had a sister. She knew I existed. I didn't know she existed.
So the mom talked about
it. Yes, they all knew. They had all done their DNA. Mine was 23andMe and theirs was in Ancestry. And okay. So my one relative, and he was the one that connected us. But the timing of that, if it had been any later than that, I never would have known her. How powerful that was, that I had the time that I had. God putting those pieces back together.
It's such a beautiful story, Faith. Like, God is just so faithful when we give it to him and just, I'm not going to take control of this anymore. Right. Lord, it's your timing. It's your will. It brought it all together just with a bow on top. It's so beautiful. Yeah. So how would you relate your physical adoption story to your spiritual adoption story into Christ? Did you understand that more fully having gone through it physically?
Probably more than most people. The idea of being chosen is probably the best way to wrap it up. Understanding being chosen specifically really connected to me, particularly as I grew in the Lord and I started to understand his plans for me, my identity in him, and who I was as a daughter of the King. He chose me. I'm in his family because he chose me. And I said, yes, I recognize that he saved me and I identify with him. I am called a child of God because of who he says I am. My parents chose me and I became Faith Grant. I'm associated with
the Grant family.
They're the ones who took me in and loved me and cared for me, nurtured me. That's the picture, literally mirror image of God and his people.
Amen. That's such a beautiful story. Is there anything that you can say that would encourage people that are going through this kind of stuff right now, wondering where you belong?
There's so much there. It's important to know that God loves us so much. He does call us his. We are chosen, but we're in a fallen world. And so we are going to walk through hard times. Like, nobody is without that. But the key is he sent Jesus to walk with us, empathize with us, understand us, be an example for us, and then gave us the Holy Spirit to live with us. I am going away, but what I'm leaving behind is better. He left his Holy Spirit, his Spirit that lives within us. If we can get to a point where we can submit our flesh and ourselves to God's work, it's not easy, but it's so worth it. What he reveals along the way gives us so much hope. We know the future. We go to heaven, that we will be made complete. We will be made whole. We will live forever with him. But as we're walking in this world until then, there's so much that God wants to show us, and there's so much love that he has for us, and there's so much healing that he wants to walk us through, and that we just have to hold on.
It's worth the work.
It's worth it.
Digging into the word, telling the Lord how you feel. It's worth it in the end, because then you're walking in freedom. I'm going to share a couple of scriptures that you had down. Is it Zephaniah 3:17? For the Lord your God is living among you. He is a mighty Savior. He will take delight in you with gladness. Yeah. With his love, he will calm you. What a beautiful picture. Jeremiah 1:5. I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart. These are in God's word for each and every one of us. You were chosen. You are loved. You were thought about before you were even in your mother's womb. God already had anointed you. It's beautiful. You're adopted into his kingdom because he chose you. How beautiful is that?
That picture that he gave me while I was in the womb and even tied it into that scripture in Zephaniah, the word that sticks out there, right? Delights. He delights in me. The God who created the universe delights in me. You go all the way back to Genesis. He created man and he said, it is good. It is very good. I think that's something that God wants us to know. He wants us all to know that. He delights in us. He delights in walking with us and being with us. He cries with us. He rejoices with us. It is a beautiful picture of absolute wholeness.
Amen.
Right? That even Jesus suffered. Jesus did not walk on this earth without pain and suffering. The will of the Father and what he was bringing him through and what that meant for the rest of us. Salvation.
Yeah. Salvation. Lord, take this cup from me. Your will, not mine,
That's
be done.
Right.
Don't we all have cups to bear?
Right.
Through it, Jesus raised from the dead, conquered death, so we can live eternity in heaven with him, worshiping forever at the feet of Jesus. He did the will of the Father. So guess what? You're going to have to walk through some hard things, but you're going to get there, and now you're going to be walking in freedom. Praise God.
And the taste of it here.
Taste of it here.
You know, worshiping at the feet of Jesus. We get to do that in everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
Our life is worship back to him. How we live, how we love others, how we experience nature, all of it. It's like a taste of heaven.
To experience it here, you don't have to wait. We're going to put some books, podcasts, and the show notes that you have found to be helpful.
The search for significance was really one that helped me a lot, probably from the, I want to say 90s maybe, was a good tool for me. I wanted to go after understanding God's heart for me, and that sort of unraveled a lot of that. And when I came across Jesus's Calling, if you haven't read Jesus's Calling, it's like Jesus is there with you. It was eye-opening to me. Jesus is my friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's not only my Lord. You know, what king dines with and has this kind of relationship with his subjects? He's also our friend. And just the way that he cares for us and loves on us, even in our worst times, that one is a daily devotional and it speaks right to the heart.
So we'll definitely put those in the show notes and encourage our listeners to pick that up. Faith, I just want to thank you so much for sharing your story and being here with us. Did you want to end us in prayer?
Oh, Lord, we thank you so much, God, for your love, for your presence with us, for your grace, God, the gift of your son, Jesus, that you gave us. Lord, we thank you for all the ways that you walk with us. Thank you that you delight in us, that you desire so much with to have relationship with us. Lord, I just pray for the people listening, Lord, that there would be something that they heard that would be encouraging. God, anyone who's walking through that identity crisis or just not knowing who they are, having trouble finding purpose or significance, Lord, that they would go to your word, Lord, that they would read the truth that you have in the Bible, that you have plans for us, that you love us, that you know us so deeply, that you want good things for us, Lord. And God, I ask that you would open people's hearts to receive that message, Lord, that they would begin to walk with you in a deeper way, in a closer relationship with you, so that they too could walk toward wholeness, God, that they would find purpose. And I just ask a blessing on each and every person, Lord, that would join us today. And I thank you for Carmine and asking me to be here today, God, that you would bless her too. Lord, just bless this podcast, Lord, that it would reach people beyond even their imagination, God, that it would be a blessing beyond their wildest dreams, Lord. We thank you for all of these opportunities. In your name we pray, amen.
I want to thank our listeners for joining the conversation today. Praying the Lord spoke to each and every one of you and believing we can move forward together and shine as bright lights in our communities. For more information about today's guest, please be sure to go to the episode show notes. If you found this podcast engaging and encouraging, please consider subscribing to the podcast and sharing these episodes with your friends and family. It's the best way to help the Morningstar Bright Lights community grow together as we share our experiences and insights for reaching New England and the world with the gospel message of Jesus Christ. If you or someone you know is shining the light of Christ and feels led to share what the Lord is doing and has done in and through your life, we would love to hear about it. Please go to podcast@morningstarbookstore.com and leave us a message. Visit our Morningstar Bookstore locations and discover our wide selection of Christian books Bibles, and gifts. Also visit our website at morningstarbookstore.com for more selections and direct-to-home shipping. On behalf of the entire team at Morningstar Christian Bookstore, thanks for joining the conversation.